Texas American World. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In 1 hour from now, we will have John Dominic Crossan, author of God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. This is going to be quite a show. John Dominic Crossan is a professor emeritus at DePaul University, widely regarded as the foremost historical Jesus scholar of our time. He's the author of several best-selling books, including The Historical Jesus and Jesus, A Revolutionary Biography. He presently lives in Mineola, Florida. So that's what we have in front of us in 1 hour from now. And we'll go for 2 hours with John Dominic Crossan. And this is quite a book. I'm sure that there are areas theologically where I would not agree with Dr. Crossan. But I tell you, this is an amazing volume. It's 257 pages long. And he gets into an entire theology which seems to juxtapose Jesus and the kingdom of God on the one hand with the message of the present kingdoms of this world, explicitly the Roman Empire, of course, in the first century, and also potentially the American Empire in the 21st century. This is going to be an interesting show. I hope you look forward to it. He will be with us in approximately 1 hour from now. Al Bawaba is reporting today from Amman, Jordan, that in the Gaza Strip, Hamas has granted amnesty to senior Fatah leaders. On its first day of full rule in Gaza Strip, Hamas announced Friday that it is granting amnesty to senior Fatah leaders. Hamas also said Palestinian security forces, now under its command, would take control of Gaza's crossing with Egypt, which was monitored so far by European observers. Earlier Friday, Hamas announced that it arrested 10 of the most senior Fatah leaders in the Strip, including the commanders of President Mahmoud Abbas's own elite guard unit and the chief of the National Security Force. However, Hamas spokesman Abu Obaida later declared an amnesty for all Fatah leaders. Shortly after the announcement, three Fatah leaders were freed. Meanwhile, hundreds of people swarmed through the unoccupied house of Fatah strongman Mohammed Dahlan after his neighborhood fell to Hamas, stripping everything, including windows, doors, and flower pots. From his office in the West Bank town of Ramallah, Abbas declared a state of emergency Thursday, firing the Hamas-led government and its prime minister, Ismail Haniyeh. On his part, Haniyeh rejected Abbas' decision, calling it hasty and refusing to leave office. The situation was, quote, not suitable for unilateral decisions, unquote, he said, according to the Associated Press. That's what Al Bawaba is reporting this morning, the Middle East Gateway coming to us from Amman, Jordan. It's interesting information in conjunction with a very ominous report last night. If you happened to be switching off of NBA basketball at the end of last night's game between San Antonio and Cleveland, and if you happened to be going through channels and coming to Fox News around 11 p.m. Central Time, you came upon a most ominous report. Hannity and Combs were interviewing John Bolton, our erstwhile ambassador to the UN. Mr. Bolton was whipping up the case for World War III. He was talking about Hamas. He was talking about the situation in Lebanon with Hezbollah. And he was speaking about Iraq and speaking about the Taliban in Afghanistan. And in all of these instances, he was attempting to link Iran to each and every one of those four organizations and circumstances that I just mentioned, and indicating that the United States would have to do something about that. Alan Combs asked some very good questions of Mr. Bolton. When we come back, we'll examine them. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be with John Dominic Crossan in 1 hour from now. He is the author of God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. That is a Harper San Francisco publication. John Dominic Crossan is a professor emeritus at DePaul University, widely regarded as the foremost historical Jesus scholar of our time. And this whole business of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Caesar is one that is a most complicated business, as we are discovering in the present climate in Bush's America. And we're going to try and get at the bottom of some of the central theological themes of this as John Dominic Crossan sees them. That will be in 1 hour from now. You know, Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars sends me his latest effort, June of 2007, volume 26, number 7. Very interesting cover story. I want to talk to Dr. Jones about coming on the broadcast once more to discuss this essay, Too Many Yarmulkes, The Ethnic Double Standard at the Heart of the Abortion Debate, by E. Michael Jones. This is quite an article, and if you're not familiar with Culture Wars, you need to be. You can find Dr. E. Michael Jones and Culture Wars online, but it's invaluable to have a subscription to the print edition if you can possibly afford to do it. And I notice in the very back of the current Culture Wars, which comes from South Bend, Indiana, that there are lectures, concerts, and videos now available in digital format. And 19 of these that he has listed, and boy, they look fascinating. Dealing with culture, dealing with something that he entitles The Dangers of Private Revelations, all kinds of things. There's some stuff here on homosexuality and contraception, pro-life politics and ethnic politics, so forth and so on. I think Dr. E. Michael Jones is a most invaluable source, whether or not you are a Roman Catholic. I am not a Roman Catholic, but I find his commentary to be absolutely impeccable. He gets a lot of other people that have fantastic academic and intellectual backgrounds to contribute to this publication, and it's just well worth your time. The letters to the editor are almost as informed, sometimes as informed, as the very fine essays that appear month after month in this publication. It really is worth your time. But Dr. Jones' essay, Too Many Yarmulkes, The Ethnic Double Standard at the Heart of the Abortion Debate, is something that is again, worth further examination with him on this show, and I'm going to try and find out when he can come on again to discuss that essay specifically. There's also a review of a book entitled The Politics of Abortion, and that is on page 45 of the current Culture Wars. Ann Hendershot has written a book entitled The Politics of Abortion, New York, Encounter Books, 2006, and this is something that is reviewed again by James G. Bruin, Jr. in the current Culture Wars. Again, good resources covering things in this whole cultural debate that we are not likely to come across in corporate publications for all the obvious reasons. And again, this is something that is too invaluable simply to slip by in regard to the essential connection between cultural and spiritual issues on the one hand and our overall political, economic, and military quandaries on the other. Our old friend, and I say that facetiously, Rick Santorum, the former United States senator from Pennsylvania, is on the cover of the current Culture Wars, lacing that cover in order to provide some degree of interest for Dr. E. Michael Jones' essay, which again is Too Many Yarmulkes, Abortion and the Ethnic Double Standard. I'll look forward to having a chat with him about that at some point, both on the telephone as well as with the rest of you who listen to this show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back to last night, Fox News. You know, I think I have a pretty good handle, as I'm sure most of you do, in regard to who and what it is that's behind Fox News. But I do watch it once in a while just to see what they're telling the American public and to contrast it with what is generally a different sort of truth. I can't begin to tell you how fascinating and frightening it was last night to listen to John Bolton talking with Hannity and Holmes. This was a scary, scary thing. No question about it, Ambassador Bolton is a neoconservative. He is definitely a tool in the hands of Israel. He is definitely in the forefront of those who want to turn the entire Middle East into a flaming tinderbox. That's my analysis of the situation. And he had the typical neocon response to the present situation in Palestine and Mesopotamia and in Persia. This whole thing with Hamas and Fatah, he did not get into the Israeli role in originally helping to facilitate the creation of the Hamas organization. Neither did he discuss the central role of Israel in exacerbating tensions between Fatah and Hamas as a means of maintaining Israel's own stranglehold on occupied territories. Mr. Bolton predictably did not talk about the great paradox in American policy with Iran. On the one hand, he made it very clear that the United States needs to reserve a military option for dealing with the whole question of Iranian nuclear power. He failed to explain to the listeners, however, why we did not attack India why we did not attack Pakistan, why we did not attack Israel. Israel is a leading chemical, biological, and nuclear power in that region. They are provably so. And yet Mr. Bolton indicates, of course, nothing about that, or the tremendous discrepancy between what we claim is our prerogative in enforcing our version of nonproliferation policy when it comes to Iran, but not to the Jewish state. The other thing that was very apparent was that Bolton, in talking about Hezbollah in Lebanon, did not discuss the whole issue of Israeli cluster bombs in southern Lebanon, nor did he discuss an alternative explanation for these recent assassinations of so-called anti-Syrian governmental figures in Lebanon. This whole thing with Rafik Hariri and several other people, including this most recent killing that Al-Bawaba is talking about this morning, involving this anti-Syrian legislator in Lebanon, whose name I believe is Ido, E-I-D-O, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. All of the evidence Bolton would have us believe, and the London Financial Times would have us believe on the basis of yesterday's front page picture, points to Syria as being behind these killings. But for the life of me, folks, it makes no sense to me that Syria would have been the ultimate power behind the throne when it comes to these assassinations in the last 2 years. Why? Clearly, because Syria would have no interest in creating a pretext and a legitimization for the United States and Israel to come after them by the throat. It makes no sense for Syria to have sanctioned these killings, but it does make all the sense in the world to me that Israel would have been behind each and every one of these, including the Rafik Hariri assassination, as a means of creating a false flag incident that would cause more conflict in Lebanon, more violence, more of a drumbeat in the West, led by people like John Bolton, to create within the American public a desire for further war and conflict in the Middle East. And clearly, if the Israelis can create the impression that the Lebanese issue and Hezbollah is primarily of Lebanon's doing, if they can create the perception that Hamas and Fatah are at loggerheads with one another and that Israel has had nothing to do with exacerbating that situation, if they can create the impression that Iran is doing what it's doing allegedly in Iraq and in Afghanistan, aside from and in isolation from all of the evidence that Britain, the United States, and Israel are involved in covert actions and overt actions in those arenas, then, of course, we can demonize Iran. But there's a whole other vantage point to this situation, it seems to me, which points directly at Israel as having been a direct agent in fomenting what is going on presently in Palestine, Lebanon, Mesopotamia, and Persia. Mr. Bolton did not discuss any of that last evening for all of the obvious reasons. And one thing that he, of course, did not touch with a 10-foot pole is the obvious, and that is that the Palestinians, 750,000 of them, were dispossessed of their property in the late 1940s. They were put into camps. That situation has not been resolved in all the years since. But I find the most striking aspect of this whole tragedy statistically is that the 51-49% split that occurred when the UN engaged in its partition plan in 1947, that 49% that was assigned to the Palestinians has now dwindled because of Israeli occupation to only 22%. And all you have to do is look at the maps of Palestine, the maps that do not appear in American media publications, to see that what you have is overwhelmingly a few isolated areas of Palestinian existence, little cantons that are disconnected with one another, in a sea of Israeli military occupation. And when we come to the West Bank, which John Bolton talked about last night at some length, we discover very quickly that all of this land that international law says is occupied territory continues to be settled by Israel with the aid, politically and economically, of the United States. Mr. Bolton did not talk about that last evening, this whole business of land thievery, subsidized and otherwise. did not talk about military occupation as having anything to do with any of this. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff on RBN. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. At 8 o'clock this morning Central Time, John Dominic Crossan of DePaul University will join us. He is the author of God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. That is a Harper San Francisco publication. And I hasten to add that there are elements in Dr. Crossan's theology related to the so-called historical Jesus that I am sure I would not agree with as an Orthodox Lutheran. And yet, having said that, that's really not the primary purpose of today's show. We want to focus upon the thesis of his book, that the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ and the kingdom of Caesar are not the same thing, and that there are implications to one's understanding of the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ vis-a-vis that which pertains to the secular realm. And to the extent that there are people on the religious right who don't understand this, Dr. Crossan, I trust, will be able to thrash out some very, very important things that we need to understand in regard to this issue before it's too late. Some would say that it's already too late. By the way, 1 week from today, I will resume my regular weekly feature with Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and with Father John Martinez. I've held that in abeyance for one more week for two reasons. This interview with John Dominic Crossan has been on the books for at least 2 months, and I need to honor that obligation to Dr. Crossan, not simply because I need to honor the obligation, but I want to have him on inherently because of the value of what he has to say. The other thing is to give Mark Glenn a little bit of a rest. He had a very stressful weekend last week at the USS Liberty Conference in Washington, D.C., the reunion there. And when I talked to him on the telephone either yesterday or 2 days ago, he was saying that he could really profit by kind of taking it easy today, relatively speaking, and getting back to his radio conversations with me in 1 week. So 1 week from today, Father John Martinez and Mark Glenn will rejoin me, and that will be a regular Friday feature on this show. I think it's going to be an invaluable thing to have these gentlemen on an ongoing basis with what's happening in the Middle East and elsewhere. And again, getting back to last night with John Bolton, this guy is trying to link Iran to everything under the sun. I'm surprised that he didn't suggest on the air that Iran sabotaged the Cleveland Cavaliers last night in the NBA playoffs. But suffice it to say, when it comes to Palestine, when it comes to Fatah and Hamas, when it comes to Lebanon and the circumstance with Hezbollah, when it comes to Iraq, when it comes to the whole issue of Afghanistan and the Taliban, Mr. Bolton wants to blame Iran for everything that happens in the Middle East in these respective regions. And quite clearly, he is setting the stage for what I think Alan Colmes properly understood is a burgeoning drumbeat for war. This circumstance, for example, on the West Bank, Bolton is saying that, hey, if there's trouble on the West Bank, well, sure, Israel's going to intervene to protect its own people, to protect its own people. Those people, according to international law, folks, have no standing to be there. Israel has no standing in international law to be occupying the West Bank. That is the position of the United States government, too. And yet we turn around and continue to subsidize ongoingly the development of more Jewish settlements in those areas that, according to the Oslo Peace Agreement, were to go back to the Palestinians. Mr. Bolton did not discuss that last night, nor did he talk about what Israel did with these cluster bombs in southern Lebanon, nor did he talk about false flag incidents. Folks, when you look at this whole thing, I think Pat Buchanan is absolutely correct today at antiwar.com when he says that we are on the escalator to war with Iran. Pat says that these are the birth pangs of a new Middle East, according to Condi Rice last summer, as Israel pounded Lebanon. Unfortunately, the new Middle East may make us all pray for the return of the old. Hamas is today engaged in savage street fighting with Fatah for control of Gaza. If Hamas prevails, it could convert this Palestinian enclave into a terrorist base camp between Israel and Egypt. In northern Lebanon, Islamic jihadists are battling the army for control of a Palestinian refugee camp. Scores are dead. On Wednesday, a seventh parliamentarian was assassinated with his son in a Beirut car bomb attack. In Samarra, the Golden Mosque was attacked again on Wednesday, collapsing the two minarets that survived last year's bombing. General David Petraeus is grim about the consequences of what he says was an al-Qaeda attack to escalate the Sunni-Shiite war. With Lebanon, Palestine, Iraq, and Afghanistan convulsed by ever-widening civil wars, a new danger is that the United States, tied down in two of these wars, may be about to lash out and launch a third on Iran. Quote, I think we've got to be prepared to take aggressive military action against the Iranians to stop them from killing Americans in Iraq, Joe Lieberman blurted on Face the Nation, adding, quote, to me, that would include a strike over the border into Iran, where we have good evidence that they have a base at which they are training those people coming back into Iraq to kill our soldiers, unquote. If there's any hope of stopping their nuclear weapons development, Lieberman said, we can't just talk to them, unquote. Lieberman and John Bolton, folks, they're going to get us into a war. Pat Buchanan and I agree that that's exactly what is going to happen. Stay tuned to Mark Gankoff on RBN. John Dominic Crossan joins us at 8 a.m.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Back. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. John Dominic Crossan, Professor Emeritus at DePaul University, will be with us at 8 o'clock this morning Central Time to discuss his new book for Harper San Francisco entitled God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. Again, as I've mentioned before, Dr. Crossan theologically would be at points of divergence with me, I'm sure, in the area of biblical inspiration and the whole issue of the authorship of some of the books of the Old and New Testament. I suspect we would differ in our perceptions of the historical Jesus vis-a-vis the biblical Jesus, but that's not the primary emphasis on this show today, of course. It will be his thesis that the kingdom of God and Jesus is a distinct kingdom from the kingdom of Caesar. And what are the implications when we fail to understand that difference? Folks, the religious right, as that is understood in this country, and by that I am not talking about truly Orthodox Christians of either Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, or evangelical Protestant persuasion or Lutheran persuasion. Let's just put aside the theological differences long enough just to assume for this morning that all of the Orthodox versions of those interpretations of Christianity that I have just mentioned are within the proper fold today, just for the sake of argument. I believe that all of those traditions, properly understood, would agree with John Dominic Crossan as far as this whole business of the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ is concerned vis-a-vis the secular realm. But when I speak of the religious right, I'm not talking about conservative, traditional, evangelical Christian theists that come out of the basic traditions here from Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy at one end of the spectrum to Lutheranism and then evangelical Protestantism in its various forms on the other hand. I'm speaking of these folks that are very much involved in providing a religious aura and justification for what people like John Bolton and Joe Lieberman and George Bush want to do in the Middle East, and Dick Cheney, of course, I hasten to add, and that all of this involves, among other things, a theology of empire, of power, of control, and Christian Zionism that that coalesce into a brew that is a most dangerous concoction. That's what I'm speaking of here. And I think that Dr. Crossan will enable us to get at the bottom of some of these things in approximately a half an hour from now. Back to Pat Buchanan then, on the escalator to war with Iran. If you watched John Bolton's performance last night on Hannity and Holmes on Fox, you'll see exactly what Buchanan is talking about this morning. One of the things that Holmes asked Bolton last night, where are we going to get the money for all of this? And where are we going to get the troops? We're already bogged down in a mess in Iraq. That was basically the thrust of what Holmes was saying to Ambassador Bolton last night. Doesn't John Bolton get it? I guess we can just print more funny money, borrow additional zillions from Asian banks, and bring all kinds of American men and women into this conflict who are not even presently a part of the armed forces, right? We'll conscript them. Bolton didn't have the guts to say that last night in the air, but that quite clearly is the only way that this whole thing could be attempted. And it's an insane idea, folks, in my view. But printing funny money, borrowing money from foreign banks, and military conscription, that is what I see as the bottom line and what's going to happen if Mr. Bolton and Mr. Cheney and Mr. Lieberman, among other mouthpieces of the Israeli lobby, get their way in regard to launching a third war, as Pat Buchanan puts it, on Iran. Buchanan goes on to say that Joe's call for airstrikes, Lieberman's call for airstrikes, follows the GOP debate where several presidential hopefuls did not even rule out the use of tactical atomic weapons to deal with Iran's uranium enrichment program. These are politicians, however, and bashing Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's Iran has no political downside. More ominous are the grim words of serious U.S. diplomats and soldiers, not usually given to bellicose rhetoric. On Wednesday, Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns told CNN that Iran is not only arming the Taliban in Afghanistan, but Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and insurgents in Iraq. There you have Pat Buchanan underscoring that the Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns is saying the same things to CNN that I saw John Bolton telling Holmes last night on Fox. Quote, there's irrefutable evidence the Iranians are now doing this, and it's a pattern of activity, unquote, said Burns. He added there was no chance the shipments were coming from rebel groups in Iran. Quote, it's certainly coming from the government of Iran. It's coming from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps Command, which is a basic unit of the Iranian government, unquote, said Burns. NATO officials in Afghanistan say Iranian-made AK-47s, plastic explosives, mortars, and one, quote, explosively formed penetrator, unquote, bomb that can pierce coalition armor have been intercepted. On Wednesday, General Petraeus told USA Today's Cesar Soriano that Iran is, quote, funding, arming, training, and even in some cases directing the activities of extremists and militia elements in Iraq, unquote. The flow of arms from Iran into Iraq, said Petraeus, is not diminished since the May 28th meeting between U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker and his Iranian counterpart. Quote, the people they are arming, they, the Iranians, are arming, are very, very serious thugs, said Petraeus. The general claims that militants armed by Iran kidnapped the British contractors on May 29th and were behind the recent mortar and rocket attacks on the Green Zone. What Iran is being publicly charged with here, according to Pat Buchanan, by responsible U.S. officials, are acts of war, arming insurgents and terrorists to kill U.S. soldiers and civilians. Quote, as many as 200 American soldiers, unquote, may have been killed by Iranians or Iranian-trained insurgents, Lieberman claimed. Petraeus and Nick Burns would not be making these charges publicly if the White House did not want them made publicly. What is going on? Pat Buchanan asks. The most logical explanation is that the White House is providing advanced justification for airstrikes on camps of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard that are allegedly providing training for and transferring weapons to Afghan and Iraqi insurgents. And if the United States conducts those strikes, Iranians will unite around Ahmadinejad, and Tehran will order retaliatory strikes against U.S. targets in Iraq and perhaps across the Middle East. President Bush will then have his casus belli to take out Natanz and all the other Iranian nuclear facilities as the Israelis and the neocons have been demanding that he do. This would mean a third Middle Eastern war for America, with a nation three times as large and populous as Iraq. Perhaps it's time to begin constructing a new wing on Walter Reed, which raises the question, where is the Congress? Why is it not holding public hearings and sifting the evidence to determine if Tehran is behind these attacks on Americans and if the United States has not itself been aiding insurgents inside Iran? Or is it all up to George W. as to whether we launch a third and wider war in the Middle East, which could result in an economic and strategic disaster for the United States? That's Pat Buchanan this morning with antiwar.com. Quite clear that he's saying the same sorts of things that I'm saying in regard to what Mr. Bolton said last night and in regard to what Nick Burns said to CNN and in regard to the latest warmongering coming to us from Joe Lieberman, that latest mouthpiece for the Israeli lobby. Folks, it's pretty obvious what's going on, isn't it? And it's very, very obvious that you and I are in danger. Your kids are in danger. Your fathers and brothers and mothers and sisters are in danger in regard to what is transpiring in the Middle East, what is being set up for you and me by these neocons and by the Israeli lobby. And this is where I absolutely get off the bus with Dr. Jerome Corsi, very fine person, I trust, who will probably be the Constitution Party candidate for president. Isn't it obvious, folks, when we listen to what Lieberman is saying and what Bolton is saying and what Nick Burns is saying, that Pat Buchanan is right on this one and not Dr. Corsi, God bless him? Buchanan makes it very, very clear here, doesn't he, that the mouthpieces for these actions and for this war are all connected to Israel. Israel wants this war. The Israeli lobby wants this war. The international Jewish lobby wants this war. And folks, it looks to me like they're going to get it. And so let's pray that I am wrong. Boy, I love being wrong on something like this, but I don't think that I am. I think all of the evidence indicates that this is what's happening and that we're getting into something that we don't understand in regard to just what a dangerous situation it really is. But this is where it is, and so we need to understand as we approach the 1st of July that our liberties and the peace of our people and our domestic tranquility are in fact really going downhill very, very quickly. Philip Giraldi has something that is posted also at antiwar.com. I want to mention it. You can read his column in Pat Buchanan's American Conservative. Philip Giraldi has gone a long way toward corroborating my charge that in Azerbaijan, in Khuzestan province, and in Balochistan province of Iran, that the United States, Britain, and Israel have been involved in covert intelligence activities and black bag operations within Iranian borders in those locales. John Bolton didn't discuss that last night. Joe Lieberman didn't talk about it. Quite clearly, Nicholas Burns said nothing about it on CNN. So here's the way the game is played, folks. Israel can do anything it wants to in the Middle East. It can continue to illegally occupy the West Bank and Gaza. It can refuse to negotiate over the status of East Jerusalem. It can have a policy of military occupation that continues to usurp lands and to do so at the point of a gun. It can do anything it wants to in southern Lebanon. It can do anything it wants to within Iran's borders in regard to black covert operations being conducted by the Israeli Mossad. And all of that's off the table in terms of saying that Israel should stop those activities and return to a more reasonable policy. Bolton isn't talking that way. Burns isn't talking that way. Lieberman's not talking that way. Why? Because present American policy, the real policy of the United States government is that Israel is a law unto itself in the Middle East. Israel is a law unto itself around the world. And when it comes to the United States government, the executive and legislative branches of our government are owned by the Israeli lobby. That's why these folks can do anything they want to and get away with it. And the American political and economic aid simply continues. That aid is about to become military in a deeper, deeper way. Are you ready for this, folks? Like Pat Buchanan was saying this morning, we are about to involve ourselves in a war with Iran, a nation three times the size of Iraq in population and geography. We are already going down the tube in Iraq. Our effort in Afghanistan is floundering. We have now spent $500 billion on this endeavor. We've lost 3,400 plus American lives and counting. We have killed 655,000 civilians in Iraq, aside from the 500,000 Iraqi children under the age of 5 that have died in that country in the last 15 years because of these sanctions against Saddam Hussein, who was for many, many years an American intelligence asset. What sense do these policies make? We're about to continue them. We're about to ratchet up the cost of continuing those policies because the real agenda is this. The United States has been appointed to have a surrogate American military force in the Middle East to do Israel's bidding and to ensure that Israel can not only continue with its present policies, but can expand its own borders and tighten its control on a unified Jerusalem and can continue to occupy Palestinian lands and to kill Palestinians who are trying to survive economically and politically in any sense of the word. This is what's happening, and this is what your sons and daughters are about to die for on an ongoing basis. That is the real implication of this. Philip Giraldi of Canestraro Associates and of Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative, this goes on to say that there are accusations that are paving the way for an assault on Iran. You can find that one as well at antiwar.com, where Philip says, sometimes it is really deja vu all over again, quoting Yogi Berra. Those who have hoped for a peaceful resolution of the outstanding issues between the United States and Iran must have been discouraged to watch the June 5th Republican presidential candidates debate. With the honorable exception of Ron Paul, the Republicans lined up firmly in support of a policy to stop Iran's acquisition of a nuclear weapon, using whatever means are necessary to do so, including the American nuclear arsenal. All except Paul derided Iran as the main source of terrorism in the world. Rudy Giuliani repeated the now familiar quote, "You shouldn't take any options off the table," unquote, when asked about the possible use of nuclear weapons against Iran, and stated that he even opposes Iran's acquisition of nuclear power, quote unquote. Duncan Hunter said flatly that he would, quote, "authorize the use of tactical nuclear weapons," unquote, against Iran. The top Republican candidates united in their view that the Democrats would be soft on the issue of Iran, a charge that lacks validity, as the leading Democratic candidates for president are as bellicose as the Republicans when it comes to Tehran's ambitions. And the media is doing its bit to help the cause, just like in the lead-up to Iraq, this time by completely ignoring the issue. The New York Times coverage of the debate did not even mention Iran, stressing instead disagreements on immigration policy. The Washington Post was also silent, as if the general agreement by presidential candidates to use nuclear weapons to bomb a sovereign nation that has not attacked the United States is not newsworthy. It is arguable that the candidates are just polishing up their pro-Israel credentials and are not to be taken seriously when they speak about Iran, a subject on which they appear to know little or nothing. But it is also possible that momentum is building that will lead to a war willy-nilly, whether or not it is in the national interest, and whether or not anyone genuinely wants it. Iran's alleged support of terrorism refers to its links to Hamas and Hezbollah, groups operating against the Israeli occupation of Palestine and parts of Lebanon, and not against the United States, a refinement that appears to exceed the grasp of America's political elite. Sam Brownback specifically insisted that, quote, "We have to stand with our allies like Israel," unquote, revealing that he considers Israel's security paramount. Several candidates referred to the Iranians killing American soldiers, an allegation that has been around for some months and is clear to becoming the focal point for efforts to create a consensus that Iran must be stopped, no matter the costs or consequences. The rhetoric is particularly significant in that it parallels recent developments in Vice President Cheney's office, where hope springs eternal that Iran will be nuked before the sun sets on the Bush administration. That's Philip Giraldi. Accusations pave way for assault on Iran. You can find it at antiwar.com. John Dominic Crossan of God and Empire will join us in about 10 minutes from now. Stay tuned for Mark Gankoff and RBN. We'll be back.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge.
Yeehaw!
That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information.
Stay connected
to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
This is Mark Anthos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. At 8 o'clock this morning Central Time, we will be joined by John Dominic Crossan, Professor Emeritus at DePaul University, who's written a most important book for Harper San Francisco entitled God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. We'll deal with that issue for 2 hours with Dr. Crossan. I trust that will be a real treat for you. And I think as I was reading through his volume, that of course, theologically, we're not necessarily in the same place on some important issues. But boy, when it comes to this whole business of God and empire, I see a real coalescence. A coalescence that I think is beginning to strike a lot of people as absolutely necessary. That political and theological left, right, and center, for those people who think, is starting to come to the conclusion, or maybe has already come to the conclusion, that Bolton and Lieberman and Bush and Cheney and the rest of these guys are a little crazy in regard to what they're talking about. And they are joined by the major party candidates in both the Republican and Democratic parties, as Phil Giraldi tells us this morning. This is scary stuff, folks. And it seems to me that as we go through this and talk about it, that you need to speak about these matters with your kids and with your parents and with the folks that you hobnob with at church and your closest circle of friends and associates. Talk about these matters. Think about them. Get rid of obsession with the NBA playoffs this morning, just long enough to consider the fact that we are very close to the most catastrophic war in all of world history. That's my take this morning. I'd also ask you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can do that by contacting us at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Very important that we hear from you in the days ahead, and also that you support the American Free Press in Washington to the extent that you can do that. When it comes to the electronic outlets and the print outlets of the real populist American right, we can stay alive only if you facilitate our staying alive. That's just how important the issue is, particularly, I think, when you look at what is going on in regard to corporate America and the backing on the part of corporate America of so-called conservative, quote-unquote, outlets like Fox News. Folks, these guys are not in favor of the Constitution of this country. Neither do they have an American first foreign policy. Neither are they concerned about widening this imperial war of expansion in the Middle East at the behest of corporate interests, central banking interests, and quite clearly the Israeli lobby. And to the extent that your life and mine are tied up in all of this, we need to support those who are saying and writing the correct things right now and trying to inform the public as to what's going on. Please help us to the extent that you can. And if you have any questions today, either for me or for our upcoming guest, Dr. John Dominic Crossan of DePaul University, you can call in at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And getting back again to Philip Giraldi, who has written an important piece at antiwar.com entitled Accusations Pave Way for Assault on Iran. Follow what Giraldi has been saying as well in Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative. The things that he writes are absolutely essential reading. And when this whole thing begins to unfold, remember that you read it in some of these places first and that you heard it on shows like mine on RBN first. Giraldi then goes on to say several candidates referred to the Iranians killing American soldiers, an allegation that has been around for some months and is clearly becoming the focal point for efforts to create a consensus that Iran must be stopped no matter the costs or consequences. The rhetoric is particularly significant in that it parallels recent developments in Vice President Dick Cheney's office, where hope springs eternal that Iran will be nuked before the sun sets in the Bush administration. Cheney is reportedly very interested in obtaining definitive evidence confirming that Iran is arming the Taliban against U.S. and NATO in Afghanistan, and it appears that he has been sending his staffers to get the goods by attending the weekly Afghanistan Interagency Operating Group. We'll be back with John Dominic Crossan of God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now, when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. The Eye of the Tiger.
It's true.